Hey, everybody. Welcome back to StadiaCast. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. What's going on, Lloyd?
Not much, man. I am so looking forward to this evening. I just got a new barbecue. So not gaming related, except the fact that I could be sitting outside grilling and gaming on my phone. I can't wait, dude. The weather is changing. It's becoming warmer. Spring is here. I feel so energized when the snow melts.
Absolutely. We still have a little bit of snow in the backyard that hasn't quite melted, but where our neighbor had piled it up throughout the winter. But soon that's going to go away. Now, you mentioned gaming on your phone. That's going to change a little bit very soon, I think. And we'll talk about that on the show. Before we actually get to the show, make sure that you are aware that we do record this show live every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern. However, probably won't have an episode next week. Next week is Easter, so we're probably going to be busy doing other stuff. So just keep that in mind, everybody. But every Sunday, U.S. Eastern, 10 a.m., we record this over at nerdnest.tv. If you are here with us live and you want to make absolutely sure that we see your comment, you can use the Super Chat feature here on YouTube, and we respond to each and every Super Chat at the end of the show. That also supports us. If you're looking for other ways to support the show, you can get shirts and merch and stuff like that. You can click the join button down below. And you know what? If you're not here with us live, you can just click on that applaud button as well. And you know what? If none of that stuff sounds appealing, but you're just watching the show, that helps too. So thank you very much. Lloyd, what have you been playing this week?
Lots, man. It's been a really, really busy week in gaming across all platforms, but primarily on Stadia. The first game that I really want to chat about a lot is Terraria. That came to Stadia. It obviously had its share of drama getting here. We all know about the story and all that fun stuff, but the game's here. It plays really well on Stadia. In fact, the build of Terraria on Stadia is higher than the build on any other console platform. So this is like up to the PC level, which is fantastic. So it has some content that people on PlayStation and Xbox were complaining they don't have yet. I saw in the announcement, which made me kind of snicker a little bit. But the main way that I've been playing Terraria is I'm playing with my daughter. I picked up a copy of Terraria on Stadia for her on her Stadia account. And we get online and we run around. We spawn new worlds. We harvest gems and heart crystals and try to get all the really crazy artifacts and weapons and machines and crazy stuff. I haven't played Terraria since kind of its first release. When it first came to iOS, I played it on my iPad, my old like iPad 2 or whatever it was. And I love the game, but I beat all the content that was in it. That is not something that I'm close to doing on Stadia because there has been so much that's been added over the years. So just really loving Terraria. It plays well. It looks great. It performs just so, so well on Stadia. It would be nice if it had like Stream Connect, because I'd love to see where my daughter is when she's running around. That seems like a no-brainer addition for them to add. But man, what a great port and just so, so much fun. And the first time that I've ever bought two copies of a game on Stadia was for Terraria. I've stuck to my guns and not done that earlier because we haven't played much multiplayer with people in my house. Other than the games that are cross-platform. Picking up Terraria for $10, a second copy, was an absolute no-brainer, especially if you signed up for a new Stadia account and you get that $10 off coupon. It's free, like beer. So, Terraria is just a fantastic game, and it plays so darn well on Stadia.
I haven't touched it since the first time I sat down and played it on Stadia, and mostly that's because I don't want to get completely sucked into it again. When I first played Terraria on the PC a billion years ago, it seems like, I think 2011. That game really, it was the first game that I played that let me create my own world. If And that kind of blew my mind. And so I remember like looking up things on the internet, how to make like obsidian generators and things like that, how to summon this boss, the best way to make a elevator, all of that crazy stuff. And so I've been playing a lot of Valheim, which is another one of these games where you are creating your own world. And I really only have time for one of those at a time. So I did not jump in on Terraria too much, but hearing you talk about it makes me more excited to play it. I was really trying to just use the controller to play it, and I think that might be my big mistake, is that it's just so much better with a mouse and keyboard, and using a controller is much more comfortable for me. But I guess if I'm gonna play Terraria, I'm gonna have to be sitting right here at my desk with a mouse and keyboard. I know I don't have to, but playing it with a controller is just, it's too hard. I can't remember how to do anything, and everything's so much easier with a mouse and keyboard.
100%. I'm playing on this machine primarily on my 4K screen with mouse and keyboard. It feels kind of weird to be playing such a, I don't know, a blocky, pixely game in 4K, but it looks nice and beautiful once you're in a game and running around. I'm playing on my PC, and this the copy that my daughter's playing, she's playing on her Chromebook, which is the first time she's ever used mouse and keyboard to control a game. So it took like 5 seconds of me telling her which keys were, and then she's like, okay, I got this, Dad. And I'm like, oh my God, to be a kid again and pick up things in 5 seconds. it's amazing. But yeah, it is fantastic. We have a story coming up later, which will probably change the way that a lot of people are playing Terraria on their phone or tablet. But yeah, man, it is just an amazing game for $10. It's just such a no-brainer on Stadia. It plays so well.
So instead of playing Terraria, I have been going all in on Dragon Quest XI S. I have been having an absolute blast with that game. It is incredibly fun. I've been turning on like the auto battle system and just running around grinding enemies to get more and more powerful. And I, you know, it's funny, when I did my live first look of the game, people were like, why would you use the auto battler? And, you know, at the time I was like, I don't know why anybody would do that. It feels like it's playing it for you, but it really doesn't. Once you turn that on, and you're just grinding up against low-level mobs, basically what I do is I have my phone I'm sitting over on the couch over there, and I got my phone sitting next to me playing a podcast, and I'm sitting there just running around in a field, killing monsters. I've got it on, like, the highest speed setting, and I've got it on auto battle with where they're, like, you can basically use, like, a tactics. So you can say, all right, show no mercy, where it's like your characters have no concept of what mana is, and they will just cast every spell as fast as they can. But then they also have settings where, like, change it up. So you kind of go back and forth between attacks and magic stuff, or you can say conserve MP, or you can say focus on healing. And you could change those tactics in the middle of the fight. So you're in the middle of the fight and you're like, oh man, one of my characters just got hit really, really hard. I'm going to press the Y button. And as soon as this next turn is over, it pauses, and I can either say, all right, follow orders and start like micromanaging everything. Or I can say, focus on healing and have everybody take a turn to heal up and then switch it back to like show no mercy or whatever. And it's a really fun game. The story is really cool. The voice acting is absolutely amazing. I was curious what the Japanese voice acting sounded like, so I switched it over, and there's this character. Great. Oh, well, I mean, I'm sure it's great, but there was one character whose voice was so grating that I was like, nope, I absolutely cannot listen to this person talk. I have to switch back over to the English voice acting. And it was weird when I went over to the English voice acting, like that same character, I don't know why I expected them to have like a similar sound, but they didn't. Like, they sounded completely different. Like, the Japanese voice was extremely high pitched and all of the vowels were stretched out. And the English voice actor was like, he was really gruff and talked like this. And I was like, wow, that's so weird. It's like they had different, I'm sure that they had different directors. And you know what else I noticed about this? This was really cool, is the mouth flaps. The mouth flaps match the language. And I was like, oh my God. They, like, a lot of times you play these games that are like a JRPG, and we'll talk about JRPGs in a little bit. You play a game like a JRPG, and if you're playing the game and you've got the Japanese dialogue on, the mouth flaps match what they're saying. But if you have the English dialogue on, it just doesn't match even close. And that is not what they did. Like, Square Enix pulled out all the stops with this, and they matched the mouth flaps to both languages. I'm sure that there's other languages too, but that was really impressive to me. And I think that that game's awesome, and the voice acting is great, and I'm having so much fun playing it. So that's where most of my time has gone this week. What else have you been playing?
Well, first, Dragon Quest. I've only played about an hour of that. It's such a good game. I love it to death. Played so much of it on Stadia. The auto play feature, such a good way to do it. I remember, was it Final Fantasy X that had the Gambit system where you put up all those, like,
12.
You do almost like 12. There you go. And you put like a flowchart, basically, and it's just like super complex. And that was cool. This is like Gambit for the rest of us, if you don't want to even think about it. And it works so well. Like, I can remember spending hours on the Slime Island, just grinding through levels and leveling up and getting stuff. It performs so well. And the voice rigging on the face, just so well done. Everything about Dragon Quest XI is just a masterpiece. And we get probably the best version here on Stadia. It's had all the updates, all the patching, all everything, and it runs in a beautiful 4K. If you have a 4K screen and Stadia Pro, just a wonderful game. Besides all the time that I've spent in Terraria, I played a fair bit of K's and the Wild Masks. That game came out on Friday. I put up my first look Friday evening, as soon as I got some time to record that one and put it up. What a charming, fun, heartwarming platformer. I haven't played a really good retro platformer in a while. Something where the controls are spot on, where everything that you do, if you die, it's like, yep, I did that to myself. It feels very much like Celeste in that regards, where you have ultimate control over your character. And it's just a fun 90s era platformer where you're running around, collecting gems, killing enemies, saving the town, and then getting the odd time where you can shapeshift. So in my first look, so this won't be spoilers if you've watched my first look, the first transformation is into an eagle, and then you can fly up in the air and shoot arrows and do things like that. Really looking forward to making my way through the rest of this game. It is just such a charming and fun platformer, and it's really good to have more family-friendly content on Stadia, because there's a lot of bang bang shoot kill games, which are great. I love them, don't get me wrong, but when you have young kids, you maybe don't want them to access that content. So K's perfect game for the whole family to play. It even has like a super simple mode where you can have normal mode, or you can have casual mode, which gives you extra lives or extra hits and a lot more checkpoints as you make your way through the level. So just a fun. Everyone's saying Kaze. I call it K's because that's how I read it. That's how I read it the first time. I don't know what it's supposed to be, but I read it that way. So if I'm saying it wrong, my bad.
Yeah, everybody. I was saying it wrong too. Okay, well, Kaze. There you go.
Kaze.
I learned something more sense today. It does make more sense. I played a little bit. Well, first off, you said something that was interesting where you're like the shoot, bang, bang. You don't want your kids to have access to some of those.
For me, I'm okay with my kids having it, but if I had 5-year-olds, yes. Not
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, yeah. So I just wanted to remind everybody that because we have family sharing, you can set your games to share with the other people in your family. And so when you buy a game, they also can play the game, and it doesn't really cost you anything extra, which is awesome. I just wanted to let you know and remind everybody that you can set specific games to share or you can say all games, or you can say all games except for this one. And I think that that's an awesome way to do it, because when I got Saints Row, I said, you know what? I don't think that I want my 12-year-old playing that game. So I'm going to say no to that one. And so it doesn't even show up on his screen, which is fantastic. I think that that's
wonderful.
I think that's awesome. Back to Kaze. we're going to say it right now. Back to Kaze and the spirit masks, or what, I forgot what it's called now. Back to that game. It very much reminds me of Donkey Kong Country.
It's 100%, 100% yeah. Donkey Kong Country. It is very Donkey Kong Country.
Exactly. And I really, I can tell from the very short time that I've had, because we got this on Friday and I didn't have tons of time to play it. But I can tell from the very short time, thank you, that that I've been playing this game, it's really good. But man, does it make me want to shatter my controller into a million pieces because I keep dying because I am terrible. And I don't feel like it's, I don't feel like it's the game's fault. I feel like it's just my skill level isn't there. And I haven't tried the, there's a mode that you can go into where you can say, give me more checkpoints, give me more hearts. And I'm probably going to have to end up activating that just because I'm old and my reactions are slower. And this is just what happens when you get old, folks. All right. You get bad at games. All right. And I never was great at games, but I could usually, like, I could finish a side scroller pretty well. That was my jam, and it's not happening. I'm getting my tail kicked with Kaze and the Wild Masks, but I'm going to have to try the lower difficulty. Are you playing on the regular difficulty, Lloyd?
Yeah, I started my first look on the regular difficulty, and I'm continuing to play that way. It's really good, and like you said, it's very much it's like a Banjo-Kazooie collector, or Banjo-Kazooie wasn't a side-scrolling platformer, but it had lots of collecting things you have to do in each level. Same with Donkey Kong Country, same with a lot of platformers that have come since then. It reminds me of that just in tone and feel. Each level, there you have to get 100 gems to get the one big diamond at the end. There's two secret levels in each level. Each of them gives you half of a green gem. And then if you get, if you spell out K-A-Z-E, you get the third gem. So there's a lot of replaying. But this game touches on pretty much every platformer. Like there's the jumping feels like Mario or Sonic. There's definitely some Donkey Kong Country in there. There's some Crash Bandicoot type actions and things in there. It reminds me of a Jazz Jackrabbit back on DOS PCs way back in the day. it's just a it's like a love letter to 90s platformers, which is really great. Or platformers, not platformers. I don't know why I said it that way. That is weird.
I thought it was a Canadian thing.
No, never. It's a no one thing. It's just my brain is weird sometimes thing, I guess. But yeah, it is. It's fun. And it's easier than a lot of people might want. But I like it because it's good for the whole family, except for Bill.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's an easy or hard game. It's just frustrating when you get killed. You know, you fall into the pit, and you're like, oh, if I had just held the X button for half a second longer, I would have made that. And it's those kind of things that just keep happening to me over and over. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to put this down because I can feel like I want to break something. And I'm going to switch over and play more Dragon Quest because I can't screw that up, I guess. Anyway, that's what I've been playing this week as well. So, but you've also been playing a little more go ahead. I forget.
Yeah, just one little note. One of my big complaints with WWE Battleground on Stadia is the fact that unlocking new characters is such a grind. Like you're doing daily missions to get like 1,000 gems. Most of the new characters take 5,000 gems. So to unlock a new character, you're either paying real money or you're waiting a couple days. If you can even do the daily challenges each day, it could be a week before you can unlock a new character. So 2K Games dropped a Ultimate Brawlers Pass into the shops all across all the different platforms. And what it does is it's $10 and it unlocks 75 characters right away. So you don't have to think about it. You don't have to grind. If you just want to play an old school, like Super Nintendo or N64 era brawler wrestling game, dropping that extra $10 might be something that that you're into. I really hate the fact that I had to pay money to get all the characters. But when I sit there and play with my kids, we don't want to say, okay, well, which characters do we want to play with? And then which ones can we actually play with from that collection? So yeah, it's a good little DLC package. I picked it up as a no-brainer for me. I don't know, your mileage may vary out there. I just wanted to bring it to people's attention, because I know that is been a huge complaint about people that want to play this game, but just the grind is just too much. An extra $10 will get rid of all that grind. I hate it, but I did it.
How much, excuse me, how much is the game without the DLC pack?
It's regularly been on sale multiple times. I think it's a $40 title normally, but it's been on sale for $20 few times and things like that. It's not a super, it's not like it's an $80 Canadian game and then they charge you $15 with exchange DLC pack to do this. It was a budget title with the DLC, so I'm okay with that.
All right. Let's move on to the news. And man, there is some flipping news this week. Holy cow. Stadia posted a whole bunch of stuff this week, starting with Monday, which was a huge surprise. I was at work and I had a bunch of people started sending me DMs on Twitter. Look at this. And I was like, oh, I'm busy right now. I'll look later. But then I looked and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And if you are unaware of what happened, we knew that it was going to happen, but we didn't know it was going to happen like this. Resident Evil 7, which you played that one, right?
Yeah, I played it 100% in VR, and I needed adult diapers when I played that game. It is so scary in VR, but yeah, I played the almost the entirety. There's a couple sections I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so Resident Evil 7, the Gold Edition, is coming to Google Stadia on April 1st as a pro game, which that's a ridiculously good thing. But if that wasn't enough, Resident Evil 8 is also coming to Google Stadia day and date with the other platforms. And if you pre-order it, this is huge. They're redoing the Cyberpunk deal. If you pre-order it, or if you buy it before May 21st at midnight, while supplies last, you will get a free Stadia controller, Chromecast Ultra, so that you can play it on your TV. Lloyd is holding up a finger.
Except for
Canada. If you're, yeah, you got to be in the U.S. I'm sorry, everybody.
You got to be in U.S., U.K., Ireland, Netherlands, Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Finland, Austria, Switzerland, but not Canada.
How many controllers do you need, Lloyd?
I need one more, actually. I need one more controller, and I've been holding off buying one, but I'm just going to have to go and order one. But yeah, this is huge. And in fact, when the news dropped that Resident Evil Village was coming to Stadia day and date, which is Resident Evil 8, with the 8 tall, scary vampire lady that everybody had a internet crush on for a few days. and Bill's like, yeah, did you see the news? And I'm like, yeah, this is huge, but it's even better that 7 is going to be part of Pro. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
This is even better. So the news hit hard, and then it just kept getting better and better and better. This is going to be great for the platform. Everybody was wondering why, when Village was announced, there was no Stadia logo there, because there was the leak that Village was going to be on Stadia, and everyone's just like, see, Stadia's dead. All the old deals are crumbling, so we're not getting new games. We're not getting old games that were promised. We're not getting all this stuff. Ha, the platform's dead. That doesn't appear to be the case. In fact, we got 3 days of news releases from Stadia instead of one this week, because there was just so much great stuff. Village being on Stadia day and date with a free Chromecast Ultra and a free controller is ridiculous. Cyberpunk performed poorly on every platform except for Stadia. That Stadia Premier Edition deal was huge. It brought tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people to the platform to play one game. If they keep doing this with like the like say 2-3 huge AAA games a year for the next year or so, you're going to get so much of the so many of these easy access kits for people that just want to play on their TV out there into the market. And then people are going to learn, oh, I can play this on my phone. I can play this on my tablet. I can play this on my PC. I can play this on my Chromebook. I can tell my friends, hey, you should get in on this. It's just amazing marketing. And I can't wait to see the hype on launch day if the game doesn't perform well on other platforms because of huge downloads and other stuff like that.
And honestly, you go back to that Cyberpunk deal. First off, that was the best thing that Stadia had done so far. Like they all of the many articles were posted that were like, Stadia is fantastic using Cyberpunk. And then all of that was overshadowed by the fact that they shut down SG&E. And everybody was like, oh man, Stadia is dead. But it's never been dead because nothing ever really changed for us. We never had those first party games from Google. And so everybody felt like a lot of people felt like the rug was yanked out from under them. But now they're doing the same thing again. And this is going to be huge for the platform. I think that this is the best thing that they can do right now is get these third-party games. That's much more important than the first-party games, is getting those third-party games. That's what everybody wanted and was complaining about when Stadia first launched. Nobody was like, well, how come Google doesn't launch with their own IP? No, they were like, where's Madden? You know, that's the thing that they were asking about, is where is this game? And, you know, we're finally getting it. This is the first Capcom game on Stadia. And we're getting a free version, or free. We're getting Resident Evil 7 as part of Pro. We're getting a free controller if you live in the right place, along with your Resident Evil 8 purchase. This is just a really, really great deal, and I'm very happy that Google are doing this.
Yeah, 100%. It is such a great deal just to get out there, and the fact that 7 is coming to Pro, that's going to give so many people a taste of a new modern Resident Evil game if they've maybe never played a Resident Evil game or haven't in a long time. That's great for the platform. Getting a game day and date, which is as easy to play as click buy, and 30 seconds later you're in it, mm-hmm. Is going to be good if there's another issue at launch. Chatting in chat room, someone that said that I had no problems on my Series X. You were lucky. So many people, if they made a last minute decision to download it, they heard that the Xbox One version or the PS4 version was bad, and they decided to buy it for Series X. Trying to download that huge game alone was coming at like 1 or 2 megasecond for people for all of launch day, up until like the next day or so. It was a mess. The game played well on that platform, but the downloads just weren't there. Stadia, you had none of that. You click play and you're playing the best version of the game right away. Not the best version entirety, but the best version. No waiting for downloads, day one patches, anything like that. You just click buy and play. You couldn't do that on any other platform, unless you had a preload and somehow got the day one update early before other people were gumming up all the servers. So, this is gonna be huge for Stadia. It's gonna be another big PR explosion. Hey, you can play this game day and date. Click buy, you're playing instantly. You don't have to download. Those types of stories are what's gonna bring more people to possibly choose Stadia instead of another platform just for convenience.
Yeah, or in addition to other platforms. It's not a zero-sum game. You can play more than one thing. Lloyd has an Xbox, Andy plays Stadia, Andy plays Switch. I've got a Switch, a PC, and Stadia. Like, it's not a zero-sum game. It just makes a whole lot of sense to dabble a little bit everywhere. What are some other Capcom games that you'd like to see come to Stadia? For me, I would love to see Resident Evil 2 remake, as well as the other Resident Evil remake games. I'd like to see Monster Hunter Rise. I know that you don't care about Monster Hunter, but I'd like to see Monster Hunter Rise come to Google Stadia as well. What are some Capcom games that you'd like to see?
I'd love to see Street Fighters, all the way from Street Fighter 2, the original release, all the Street Fighter 2 releases, Street Fighter 3, all the way up to Street Fighter 5. I'd love to see the whole Street Fighter collection on Stadia. Be able to jump in immediately and play an old game or a new game would be fantastic. As you said, the Resident Evil remakes would be wonderful as well. But even like gems like Okami or Devil May Cry, Dead Rising, like Capcom has such a history of just amazing games that they really haven't been using too much in recent memory. They've been kind of slow on releases for the last couple generations. I mean, they've come out with a lot of Monster Hunters. They come out with Resident Evils. They come out with some other games. But Capcom used to be a company that would release multiple different titles across different platforms or across different IPs in 1 year. I'd love to see some of their old catalog, some gems come to Stadia, because that would be a fantastic way to play it, because you don't have to download it. You just click play and boom, you're in playing Okami.
Yeah, there's people in chat are saying things like all Resident Evil games, Marvel versus Capcom. Love Marvel versus Capcom. Streets of Rage 4. Streets of Rage 4 is fantastic. I would like to see Mega Man come to Stadia as well.
Yeah, Final Fight, all those old Capcom arcade beat 'em ups.
We had hear the sound. Remember the sound? Right? The Capcom sound?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Capcom. Yeah. All that stuff. There was the arcade beat 'em up collection that came to Stadia. The Capcom arcade beat 'em up.
You mean Switch?
I can't remember. Came to Switch. I'd love to see games like that come to Stadia as well. Like getting all these old retro games, 5 seconds away from me on my phone would be just an amazing thing.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on. They did another announcement on Wednesday. There was no announcement on Tuesday, probably because they wanted to give a little breathing room for the Monday announcement. So then on Wednesday, I believe they brought out another. There was This Week in Stadia, which usually they do on Tuesday. They announced that Dirt 5 is now on the store for $60. Murder by Numbers is also on the store for $8. K's in the Wild Masks came out, and they were mentioning that. They also have the DLC for Immortals Fenyx Rising. You haven't had a chance to jump in on that yet, have you?
No, I want to. I'm so excited about it because you're in a new world with a new character. And it's set, it's called Myths of the Eastern Realm, which is set in Eastern Realm, and it's totally different. And I've wanted to get in and play that, but there's just too much to play right now. Although I am playing a 10-year-old game, and that's taking the bulk of my time, but let's not focus on that right now.
That's too funny. Yeah, you know what? I didn't even realize that about the DLC. I feel like I slept on Immortals Fenyx Rising and I missed out. And I played it and I had fun with it, but I didn't get very far in it because something else probably came out and distracted me, because you guys know me. Ooh, shiny. And next thing I know, I've forgotten everything that I was doing because of goldfish memory. Oh, you know what? That reminds me. one more thing about Dragon Quest XI that I love is when you turn it on, there's an old guy and he tells you what was happening. And I love that. I wish every game would do that, because I'll be playing a game and I'll turn it on. I'll be like, yeah, I don't remember anything. And so I end up just shutting it off and playing something new, because I don't have to, like, I can't remember stuff. So, you know what? Immortals Fenyx Rising, use that feature from Dragon Quest XI, and next time I turn it on, just say, hey Bill, last time you were playing, you did this. By the way, here's the controls in the bottom right of the screen or something, right, so that you can relearn how to play.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, that would be great. One game that I want to check out, sorry to cut you off.
No,
Murder by Numbers. Murder by Numbers looks really interesting. It's a it's like a detective game. From what I've seen of it, it reminds me of like Phoenix Wright kind of game. So this is one that I wanted to pick up, and then all the games came out and that got me busy. I definitely want to circle back to this one at some point, because I do miss playing games like that. I love the Phoenix Wright series, and this has some of that kind of flavor and feeling to me when I was watching the intro video for it.
Yeah, I've never played a Phoenix Wright game ever, so I don't know anything about those. I looked at this and I was like, oh, it's a Picross or something. And I was like, I'm not interested in this. So I didn't really pay much attention, but It's nice to hear that it's something that piques your interest. It's on sale right now for $8. So
yeah, I gotta snag it before it goes up.
Yeah, because it's normally that's half price. So it's normally more expensive than that. But you know, there you go. They say solve pixel puzzles to find clues. Use the clues to interrogate witnesses. Work your way to the truth and uncover the mystery of murder by numbers in 1996 Los Angeles. I always like the games that are set in not like in modern times, but not modern times, if that makes sense. You know,
yeah, it does.
It's not like ancient Egypt or something, but it's in the past and it's like a realistic kind of thing, which I think is interesting.
Definitely.
All right. On Friday. Then they had more, and I was going to do a video, I was going to do a video about this, but I just didn't end up having time. I'm a big fan of JRPGs. Well, I'm a big fan of the idea of JRPGs, and I'm a big fan of the first 30 hours of JRPGs, but then I get distracted by something new because I just don't have enough time to finish them. We got four more JRPGs coming to Google Stadia soon. That would be... Oh, he just bought it.
Just bought it, so I didn't forget.
There you go. That would be Ease 8, Lacrimosa of Dana, Ease 9, Monstrum Nox, Trials of Cold Steel, Legend of Heroes 3, and Legend of Heroes Trials of Cold Steel 4. So we've got four JRPGs coming soon. All of these are widely regarded as really, really fantastic. I played Ease 8... Very reminiscent.
Good.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very reminiscent of, I would say, Xenoblade. Reminded me of that a lot. The combat system, very action heavy, very cool stuff. And Ease 10, or not 10, 9, I went and looked up what's the combat system like for that one. Basically, it's Ease 8's combat system all over again with a few extra tweaks added in, which sounds fantastic. So those two are extremely action heavy. And then the Trials of Cold Steel games are more turn-based strategic kind of games. Of these, what are you most interested in?
I'm actually interested in Ease 9. I've never played that game. I've played a lot of Ease 8. I have it on my Nintendo Switch. Love it. I remember playing Ease way back on like the Sega Master System or something, like way back in the day. The game has definitely come far since then. But nine would be fun because I've never played that one.
Yeah, I guess one of the things that they added to the battle system is you can have these perfect blocks and perfect moves. Basically, if you dodge or block at just the right moment. Basically, it stuns the enemy that you're fighting against, which gives you an opportunity to do a whole bunch of extra damage, which is, I always love it when games do that kind of thing to say, look, if you block, that's great. You're going to not take the damage or whatever. But if you block at just the right time, you get a huge bonus to your damage for, you know, being a little riskier with the way that you play. And I like that. I like that a lot. There's a good risk reward system there. And I think that that's interesting. I think the graphics for this look really good as well. And previously this came out on PS4. I think it's on PC as well. And it's going to be on Stadia as well. And it comes out summer 2021. So we don't know exactly when this game is coming, but sometime in the summer. And that's awesome. It's one of those games where you're definitely going to want to, it's a long haul game, so I'll probably play the first 30 hours of it and then never find out what happens to the main characters and be sad about that, but that's okay because because I enjoy the first 30 hours of games. Have you played any of the Trials of the Cold Steel games?
I have not. That's a series that I've never tried, so I'm interested about it. Watching some of the trailers for these games, it was interesting seeing like Falcom come up on it. Some very big developers of Japanese RPGs. One of my favorite, but a franchise that I really loved was the Hyperdimension Neptunia games. They were from Idea Factory and Falcom and I can't remember the other one, Compile Heart, I think, maybe. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I'd love to see those games come over as well. If Falcom's working on these games, maybe there's some engine synergy there, and they can just port those games over as well. Getting so many JRPGs is such a good thing for the platform. It's something that was underrepresented in the first year of Stadia. So it's good to see so many games just dropping in quick succession for the people that really love those types of games.
Absolutely. All right, moving on. We've talked a little bit about the phones. I'm going to move that story up because we've alluded to it a few times. Basically, Google, where is this? Oh, I clicked on the wrong thing. Google, 9to5 Google, sorry, my brain stopped working for a second there. 9to5 Google did an APK teardown, and they found something very, very interesting in the new Stadia app, and that is touchscreen gameplay. Now, when I say that, a lot of people are like, well, that's already in Stadia. Like, you can already pick up your phone and have some on-screen controls, but that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is what they call direct touch, which essentially means that if a game supports it, it allows you to interact with the game directly instead of through on-screen facsimile of your controller. So instead of having a virtual thumbstick on the screen, you can just drag your finger around on your phone and do stuff that way. And actually, when Terraria launched, if you go into the settings, there was a spot in there that said touchscreen. And I was like, oh, I wonder how that works, because that came before this story. I didn't try it. I don't think it works yet, but
no, it doesn't.
It does. Okay, it doesn't. But like, that's the kind of thing when you are out and about pulling out your phone to play a game on Stadia. Also necessitates, for the most part, for most games, pulling out a controller, and now you've got this whole contraption in order to play, and people just don't do that very much, or at least I'm not interested in doing that. But pulling out your phone and just really quickly accomplishing a task in a game, like maybe I would do Dragon Quest XI and turn on the auto battler and run around in circles and fighting slimes on Slime Island for a little bit. Like, that kind of thing, without having to also have a controller with me and also not have on-screen virtual buttons and stuff, that's very appealing to me. Even though I'm usually somebody that says I don't really like playing touchscreen games, the option to do it every once in a while is very compelling. What are your thoughts on this, Lloyd? Oh, he's choking.
Excuse me. Yeah, the 1 second that I was coughing, I had to mute myself. Yeah, it totally makes sense. Like, when Reigns launched on Stadia, I was like, this makes no sense. Like, why? You just want to swipe on it quickly. You don't want to have to do all this weird stuff. And then, sure enough, this is the thing that's coming. So what this is going to enable is, when you're playing a game on your phone or tablet, it's multi-touch, and it's directly taking your input from your device. So if you're moving your finger across the screen, they can track that. If you're pinching to zoom, if you're, I don't know, if you're doing swipes, they can recognize that, just like it was a native phone app or tablet app. That's going to be huge. And it's not going to be for every game, I'm sure. I'm sure every game will support just normal touchscreen stuff. But I can see some games where you're controlling with a controller, but you just want to select something really quick on your screen. You can just slide up and touch your screen. It's going to be huge for stuff like that. I can't wait. Terraria, I played the entirety of Terraria when it first launched on my tablet. If I could do that again, I'm going to play way more Terraria portably when I'm just, I have 10 minutes to kill or whatever, jump in, do some mining, jump out and go about my business. This is going to be huge. And the fact that it's going to have touch events registered like they're native, like you're running a native game, is going to be huge. It just needs developers to support it. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what developers do with this new feature.
Yeah, I would also really like to see them do this for the web app, because that would mean that playing a game on my iPad would also have those features. Like, one of the first things that I tried when we got the ability to play on iOS was I tried loading up Baldur's Gate 3, and it didn't have Like, there was no way to interact with it without either virtual buttons or the controller. And I just wanted to touch the screen to tell my characters where to go, and I couldn't do that. And that was really disappointing. So I hope that this isn't just a... Whoops, I hit the microphone. I hope that this isn't just an app thing, but also part of their web app, so that you get the same experience on any screen. That's the thing that they're always talking about. Play your games on any screen. You already have the screen, the things that you need to play. All right, that's fantastic. Make sure that this percolates throughout everything, that every way that you can play that has a touch screen. I think that that would be really fantastic and important for me anyway.
Do you think this was Project Hailstorm?
No, because the Project Hailstorm has that thing where they're like requesting,
requesting access, enable Project Hailstorm. I wonder if it was just kind of like the beta name for this touchscreen gameplay stuff. I doubt it.
So,
but every time something new comes up in the APK breakdowns, it's like, huh, was that Hailstorm? No, it wasn't Hailstorm. Well, how about this? Was this Hailstorm? No, it probably wasn't Hailstorm. Hopefully we find out news about that at some point, just to know what it was.
I don't see, like, I feel like Hailstorm is a thing that is not on all the time. And it's a feature that you have to then request. So if you're playing a game that uses this touchscreen stuff and the game supports it, I would assume that that support is always on and you don't have to hit a button or something to say, hey, why don't you give me some Hailstorm up over here, right? I don't think that's the way that it works. So I don't think that that's Hailstorm, but you're right.
Yeah.
I forgot about Hailstorm, honestly. They haven't said anything about it in ages, and so I just kind of slipped my mind.
It's even been taken out of the APKs, so either it's not coming or it's been renamed or they don't want people to know about it until it drops. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious about that. But this is a big breakdown for a couple other reasons as well.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to, wait, other reasons as well. Are you talking?
Yeah.
Oh, what were the other reasons? Because I forgot and I closed it.
Android TV app.
A lot more
tips. No, not tips. Breadcrumbs, we'll say, about this coming out soon is it keeps being added to the APK. So, so in this version of the APK, the whatever breakdown that they did, there's codes for, or there's text strings for install the Android TV app. Please install the Stadia app for Android TV application. Add a new account. Add an account to make purchases. Stadia payments aren't working on this TV right now. Open Stadia on your mobile device or computer to buy this item in the store. So for this to be added to the APK means they're doing a lot more testing on the Android TV app. I think that this means that the inevitable release for the Sabrina Android TV device, it's got to be really soon.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if that's the reason why they're blowing out premiere editions with Resident Evil, but not in Canada, which sold out really early when they were doing Cyberpunk. Maybe they're just trying to get rid of old stock because there's going to be another bundle that comes with Sabrina in the near future. So all this stuff is great news. This is a great breakdown or teardown for many different reasons. But touch controls and the Android TV app being super close is a very, very good thing.
Absolutely. I have Android. I have the Google TV on two of the TVs in my house. I'll get it on the third one once Stadia supported on it. But on both of those TVs, I have the Google TV plugged in and my Chromecast plugged in. And it is so irritating that I have to switch back and forth between them because everything is on my Google TV. So like even Apple TV, like I subscribe to Apple TV for the shows and I get to watch those shows on my Google TV.
It's wonderful.
But I can't play Stadia on my Google TV. And I can play GeForce Now on my Google TV, but I can't play Stadia on my Google TV. So yeah, that's a big deal. Yeah, for everybody like, what's wrong with Bill? I disappeared for a bit because I closed a window and I was trying to put everything back together, and that's why I didn't have the story in front of me anymore. Is there anything else in the APK teardown that is huge?
a couple things, player notes. So you can add a note about a player on the probably from the friends list. That makes sense because you could have 50 Bills on your friends list that are all username Bill, but mm-hmm. they all have a different number after. So you could say, hey, this is the Bill with no hair that talks about video games. You could put that on there as a note. So that'll be useful. Not a huge thing, but they're also working more towards party chat. There's a lot more stuff in there about party chat and making party chat work across games and things like that. So I'm excited about the future of Stadia. They keep ramping up all aspects of Stadia. Everyone says it's dead. I don't know, man. The things are ramping up to almost a fever pitch. So I think this summer is going to be a really awesome time to be a Stadia gamer.
Yeah. SofaSpy in chat says spring is near, hailstorm is melting. Just so you're aware, hailstorms tend to happen when it's warm out because the air is rising really fast. Little right. weather fact for you. Okay, moving on. SGE closed, but all of that stuff, all of their tools, they're yeah. open sourcing all of their tools. This is really, really smart for them to do. All of the tools that they built in order to help them make games for Stadia, they are now open sourcing these so that other developers can use them to make games for Stadia. This is brilliant and very fantastic. It says right here, this project is a recompilation of the infrastructure work done by Google in Stadia Games and Entertainment. The organization was shut down in 2021 and blah, blah, blah. Now this stuff is going to be used for making more Stadia games, but it's open source, so everybody can do this.
Oh. Yeah, it's interesting. I went to the GitHub and I was going through some of what was included. It's not a lot of like tools, but it's a lot of quick start stuff. So there's it's kind of like pre-set up versions of a lot of the tool chain that you'd be using if you were making a Stadia game. So there's I guess it uses kind of a middleware thing called Bazel, which I'm not familiar with. And it's basically getting Bazel set up and getting all the other stuff going. This is good because it means that all the work that SGE did isn't necessarily all gone. It can find its way into other projects. Like we had talked about early on when this happened, Bill, that it's going to live on in other projects going forward. It looks like that is indeed the case, and that is a really good thing.
Yeah, and the fact that it's open source means that everybody's going to be able to have access to it. Nobody has to like pay a licensing fee in order yep. to try this stuff out, which I think is, or in order to do this. I think that that's a fantastic thing. Yep. Got some bad news for everybody. Humankind has been delayed. Some would say that that's inevitable. Not talking about the game. I'm just talking about Humankind.
We were delayed a year because of certain global pandemic stuff happening.
Yeah. But Humankind, the game, which if you don't remember, is this game from Sega. It is a 4X civilization style game where you take different civilizations and mix them together at certain points in time in order to create your own civilization, which sounds really, really cool. They had a demo during the, I think it was during the good stuff, right? And
yes.
Yeah, it was during yep. the good stuff. They had a demo and it was a bad demo. Not because it was a bad game, not because the game wasn't well done, but because the tutorial wasn't finished yet. And they said that specifically. They said, look, this is early. We don't have the tutorial done. And when you're playing a game like this, you need a tutorial. It was like I was looking at it, I was just kind of overwhelmed with how confusing everything was, and I just said, you know what, I'm closing it, moving on.
Yeah,
it's been delayed to August 2021. Honestly, I think that's too soon, just based on my microscopic experience with the game. I felt like it wasn't done, like there was so much more to do. I'm surprised that it's coming in August, but it's delayed to August 17th, 2021. Are you excited about this game, Lloyd?
I enjoy 4X games, but they're not my like main jam. I know I had a friend when I used to do an old podcast, on mobile games. Every 4X game that hit the store, that is all this dude talked about forever. He loved 4X games. I like 4X games. They're fun, but it's not my entire jam. But Humankind looked interesting. I mean, the ability to blend multiple kind of like takes of history. So what happens if this ancient civilization developed technology and then eventually got the nuke before anybody else? What's going to happen? Or what if they got hyper religious and they did all this other stuff? So it's kind of like Civilization, but it looks like this is kind of ramped up to kind of the crazy level, when you can kind of play out different things that may or may not have ever happened in history. So I'm excited about it. I don't know if this is going to be a day one purchase for me, just because it's a 4X game and I have to be in a mood for it. But yeah, and any delays to make a game better, I'm always game for, pun intended. I think it's better to release a game when it's done instead of release it early and then do a bunch of patches down the road. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of excited for this one, but it's not going to be a day one purchase for me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The last thing, and we'll talk about this real quick, and then we'll get to the super chats and stuff. The last thing that I want to talk about is a really fantastic game that I've played on. I think I played it on PS4, on Nintendo Switch, and on PC, and that's Cosmic Star Heroine, which is this really cool game that kind of feels old school JRPG, Chrono Trigger style combat. Really, really fun game with a cool time travel mechanic built in. It's really fun. It's got a 16-bit art style, and it has been rated by the USK for Google Stadia. I imagine that this is going to be a Stadia Pro game. It's probably so. Look, it's by Zeboid Games. And at Christmas time, we got a game from them, Cthulhu Saves Christmas.
Cthulhu Saves Christmas.
Right. Yeah. we got a game from them as a pro game. It's also an older game, you know, so it makes sense that this might possibly be a pro game. Although, even if it's not, it's definitely worth picking up. It's really fun. Did you ever play this one?
This is a game that was always on my list, but I always had other things to play when it was on sale or whatever. So I've never played it. If it comes to pro, I would jump at the chance to play this one again. It would be a no-brainer for me. It's always looked good. I love retro game, like retro styled games that look like it's something I'm playing on my Super Nintendo. So yeah, this game always jumped out at me as something that I want to play.
Awesome. Let's move on to our super chats real quick. But before we wrap up, because we're coming up on the hour mark, we did have a bunch of people become members, so big thank you to, I'm not going to list everybody, just the people who've done it since we started the show today. Hungry Moogle became a member, as well as Zin Hood, and then Ruben DeGeeling sent in a super chat, and they said, last week was great, but this week, April programs, Outriders, launch of JRPGs, will cause our backlogs to increase more and more. Wow. Any other pro predictions? Stay healthy and awesome, boys. All right. Well, thank you very much, Ruben, for the support. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, I made my prediction that we would get Cosmic Star Heroine as a pro game in April. Do you have any predictions for a pro game, Lloyd?
My gosh. My prediction forever was Piku Niku, and then Piku Niku dropped as not a pro, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe it's not gonna be a pro title. I really don't know, man. I don't know what's coming that would fit really well. Maybe Killer Queen. That's been a game that has been talked about coming to Stadia for a while, but we don't have any real details about that. It would be interesting to see some of the Trine games make it as a pro title, since 4 is coming to Stadia. Give away the first game, or maybe the trilogy or whatever. But yeah, I don't really know, other than maybe Cosmic Star Heroine. That would be a perfect fit, I think.
I'm going to say, you know what we need to have a pro game is Cake Bash. Cake Bash, you know, you were listing off new games. I was thinking about older games that have been on Stadia. But Cake Bash is a really fun, kind of family-friendly party game, but it's got no population because, you know, there's there's just not a lot of people that pick that up. Yeah. So I would like to see Cake Bash get become a pro game, because that would really increase the number of people that are playing it, and so you could easily find a game. So I'd like to see that. I would also possibly like to see, there was something else that I was just looking at for a pro game. You know what? I would like to see Uno be a pro game as well.
Oh, Uno would be fantastic. In the chat room, they're talking about Ark, which we know is coming, and we know it's going to be pro when it comes, but we don't know when it's coming. That would be that would be another good game to drop on April 1st, although we are getting Outriders on April 1st, day and date on Stadia.
That's not a pro game,
Not a pro game, but a lot of people are looking for another looter shooter, so that'll be there. So I wonder if we're going to get big games on April 1st, or if it's going to be smaller titles just because of the AAA games that are coming in April.
Or will we get any other pro games at all for April? I mean, it's perfectly fair to say, look, they're giving us Resident Evil 7. That is a big deal game. Gosh, usually they announce those pro games already. Well, maybe, okay, on the 30th. So I bet you on Tuesday we'll find out what those other pro games are. We'll find out on the 30th, and forward to a video from yours truly talking about those pro games when we find out about them. All right. Anything else that you want to talk about before we get out of here, man?
I don't think so, man. I just got to say, the community for the last month and a bit, there's been a lot of angst, a lot of fighting, a lot of that stuff. This week of Stadia news has kind of taken most of that away. It's been refreshing to chat with a lot of you fine people that are hanging out with us in chat, or people that are listening to us, and not have the comment, oh, but there's only 5 players, or yeah, but Stadia's dead. Did you know they shut down their all development and they're turning off their servers? Like, all those comments that you'd get just having a normal conversation on Twitter seem to have stopped. I don't know. Stadia definitely ripped off the Band-Aid when they closed SG&E. They didn't do it slowly. They just ripped it off and announced it. And I still have a feeling that the Stadia as a platform is going to be better in the near term because of that. But we'll see how it kind of plays out, I guess. But man, I'm hyped again. I really am. And it's good to see so many of the community just celebrating the wins and not focusing on the little setbacks as people have been doing so much in the past.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's it for this episode of StadiaCast. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, everybody. You are awesome. Thank you to the people who became members on our channel or did super chats. We appreciate that. And thank you very much to everybody who shares our content out on the internet someplace, like on Reddit or Twitter or Facebook, wherever it is that you're sharing stuff. Thank you very much. I had a couple of people say, hey, I saw your stuff on Facebook. And I said, I don't have a Facebook, so I didn't know what they were talking about. But thank you very much for everybody for helping us out that way. Just so you know, we're coming up on the end of the month. And at the end of the month, you're no longer going to be able to buy our 10K shirt, which you can find. I'll throw that up in the live chat here in just a second. But you're no longer going to be able to get that at the end of the month, because it's just like a quick celebration thing that's out there. So if that's something that you're interested in, then make sure that you pick it up before the 31st, because on the 31st, I'm going to shut that down. And we'll look at putting up a new shirt, maybe with Stadia colors or something. I'm thinking about for the Nerd Nest logo. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Take it easy, everybody. Have a great week.